Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. When we speak of the Bible, we have in mind that book that contains 66 books, beginning with Genesis and continuing through Revelation. We reverently refer to it as the Word of God. It claims to be inspired of God and all-sufficient for us. And our study is concerned with the origin of the Bible as to whether it's been preserved for us by God or whether we're indebted to the Roman Catholic Church for the Bible. Has God given men this book, or are we to give thanks to the Roman Church and its hierarchy? Now, Romanism claims to have given the world the Bible. Repeatedly, they claim the Bible is a Catholic book. They claim that they compiled it and preserved it, and they've given it to the world. There's a tract printed by one Roman Catholic church that says the Bible an authority only in Catholic hands, which shows that they believe they have the exclusive right to interpret the Bible because they gave it. The booklet is actually an imaginary debate between a Roman Catholic and a Protestant, and both sides of the argument offer an abundance of error and misunderstanding of both the scripture and the history. But be that as it may regarding the tract, did the Bible come to us through Rome? As Christians, we should be vitally concerned about this subject. The Bible condemns those who preach and teach and practice error, just as it commends those who proclaim and follow the truth. We are fortunate that we do not have to make this investigative inquiry as either a Catholic or a Protestant. Friend, men can be Christians no more and no less without Protestantism or Catholicism, either one. In fact, true biblical New Testament Christianity knows nothing of either one of them. For many reasons, we deny the Bible is a Catholic book. Now, the Catholics claim they gave the Bible to the world at the Council of Hippo in 390 A.D. This is obviously not true, inasmuch as the Bible was in existence as early as the 2nd century. Most complete manuscripts of the Bible have never been in Catholic hands. Even older versions of the Bible are in existence that Roman Catholics never possessed. And these older versions do not contain the apocryphal or doubtful books that Roman Catholic Bibles contain. Catholicism has not been a defender or preserver of the scriptures, but has destroyed many copies of the Bible as they could find throughout their history. And they have suppressed the reading of it, teaching people that only their priesthood can understand it anyway. People have been persecuted by Rome for reading the Bible, and hatred beyond description has been manifested by official Rome for translations of the Bible that gave the Bible into the hands of the common man. Catholics admit they do not study it because they're never encouraged to study it. They study the Romanist Catechism instead. Now, we do not have to rely upon Catholicism or anyone else to know that the Bible is the Word of God. The proof of what the Bible is can be determined by the book itself. And if the Bible were a Catholic book, you would think that they would have a greater respect for its teaching than is obvious in their doctrine. And we want to proceed by showing how Romanism disrespects the scriptures, ignores them, contradicts them, and attempts to discredit the Bible. Surely, if it were their book, such things would not be. For instance, Catholics call their priest Father. They say this is based on the fact that Paul called Timothy his beloved son in the faith. And they also cite Paul's statement to the Corinthians, "For in Christ Jesus, by the gospel, I have begotten you." Of course, Paul was never a Roman Catholic priest, however. Calling a priest or anyone else with a religious title such as Father is a direct violation of the teaching of Jesus. Matthew 23 and verse 9, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven." Now Jesus and Paul did not contradict one another. Romanists admit that this is not a prohibition to calling one's fleshly male parent by the term Father. The Holy Spirit has done that often in Scripture, so it must mean that it's wrong to use the term in some other sense than with reference to one's physical parent. Jesus was speaking of honorary spiritual religious titles, and he forbade it. Alongside his strong denunciations of pride and special distinctions which characterize the Pharisees as well as Roman Catholic clerics, Jesus rebukes ecclesiastical, self-exalting special titles that men heap to themselves to show distinction in religion. Why, you never read of Reverend Peter, or Your Highness Paul, or Your Excellency James. Paul spoke of Timothy as his son in the faith because Paul was instrumental in Timothy's conversion. There's no biblical authority for Timothy or anyone else to call Paul Father Paul. The Corinthians were begotten by Paul only in the sense that he preached the gospel to them, for they were actually begotten by the Word, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Well, why not call Paul Farmer Paul rather than Father Paul, since he said, I planted and Apollos watered, and God gave the increase, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. Friend, rather than using titles, which so many preachers seem to think is vital to their recognition as a so-called man of God, Romanists and Protestants alike should cease this sinful practice. No person who respects the Bible will allow such titles to be assigned to him. Not even the terms doctor. And even the term brother or anything else is to be used as some kind of ecclesiastical religious title. One might be called an elder or a preacher or a deacon because he serves in that work, but these are not titles to be worn among brethren. How can Romanism claim to have given the world the Bible when they are such violators of this very simple teaching? Catholicism includes the worship of images, which the Bible forbids. Now, we are aware that they deny that they worship images. They only admit to worshiping deity by the use of images. Well, when Christians worship, they are to worship in spirit and in truth, John 4 and verse 24. When Jesus promised his apostles that they would be guided into all truth, John 16:13, is it not significant that he never guided them into the use of images in worship? The early church did not use them, and such practice is but another innovation of man. Now, even the Israelites were forbidden to make graven images. God does not condemn artistry or sculpturing or painting. He forbade using these things in worship. He condemns the adoration of them, the bowing before them, the praying to them, the serving them. And even though Romanists may deny that they show such affection for images, friend, do you realize the toe of the statue of Peter in Rome has been worn away because of the kisses Roman Catholics have placed upon him? Those who bow before images making the sign of the cross will say that they worship what the image represents and not the image itself. Now, this may sound as if they have escaped the commandment against idols and images, but please take note. This is precisely what the Israelites did at the foot of Mount Sinai when Moses did not return when they thought he ought to have come down. Aaron fashioned for them a golden calf. He said, "These are thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Aaron and the people knew that the physical golden calf did not lead them out of bondage. What they were doing was making a feast to the Lord, Exodus 32:1-5. And these actions are defined by Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 7 as idolatry, and he condemned it. It is even more significant, and I think it's very telling, that in Catholic catechisms where they are listed the Ten Commandments, the second commandment, which condemns making graven images, is omitted. To make Ten Commandments, they make the tenth, which forbids coveting, into two commandments. The very telling blow can be leveled at Romanists when one compares their own Bible and their own catechisms with respect to the Ten Commandments. They do not agree. Their Bible includes the condemnation of graven images, but their catechisms, which they study, leave it out. If the Bible was their book, why would they do that? Catholicism teaches that Peter was the first pope. Yeah, the pope cannot be married. But Peter was a married man because he had a mother-in-law, Matthew 8 and verse 14. Romanists claim Peter left his wife after he assumed his papal duties. Now, is not that strange that the so-called vicar of Christ would violate the teaching of Christ regarding the lifelong relationship of marriage and desert his wife to serve as the representative of Christ on earth? Do we have Pope Peter violating God's law from the very start? Many so-called popes since then have not had much respect for the sacredness of marriage and sexual relationship, to be sure. But Catholics cite the fact that Peter said that he had left all things to follow Christ, and they say this includes his family. But if it includes his family, why did he not leave Andrew, his brother? Furthermore, Paul claimed that he had a right to lead about a wife as much as Cephas, who is Peter, 1 Corinthians 9:5. No, friend, Peter did not leave his wife. And again, Peter said that he was an elder or a bishop, 1 Peter 5 and verse 1. And according to the pen of Paul, an elder must be a married man, 1 Timothy 3, 2-5. Now, we do not want to forget that Paul warned that one of the marks of apostasy would be those who would forbid to marry. The doctrine of the celibacy of the priesthood is an error from top to bottom. There is no special clergy or priesthood class in the Bible among Christians to begin with, inasmuch as every Christian is a priest, let alone the prohibition of priests to marry. But this doctrine has changed in many parts of the world among Catholics with papal approval, although papal objection still lingers among much of the Roman Catholicism world. Gregory VII said that celibacy was voluntary, but also decreed excommunication for anyone receiving the sacraments from a married priest. So how do Catholics claim the Bible as their book? Celibacy is never binding on Christians when they have the scriptural right to marry. Peter was never a pope, nor has anyone else ever been a pope with God's approval. Catholic doctrine teaches that there is a place called purgatory, a place of cleansing after death with fire and punishment. One dies and goes to purgatory to get the evil burned out of him for various periods of time. The doctrine has supplied millions of dollars for the coffers of the Roman treasury because of various fees, and prayers can be made for the departed to hasten their exodus from purgatory, for certain fees, of course. The doctrine is a doctrine of salvation by works. One can stay in purgatory long enough to get to heaven without the blood of Christ. It is a doctrine of a second chance, which the Bible does not teach. Nothing about purgatory is found in the Bible. It comes from some of the Apocrypha books, and it has been enlarged and expanded into a basic Catholic doctrine. The Bible teaches that the dead shall be raised, John 5:28 and 29, both the good and the evil to be judged, and the Lord will separate the sheep from the goats, Matthew 25, and nobody will be given a second chance to get right with God. Now, Roman admits that the early church did not subscribe to this doctrine, and it was not fully developed until 590 A.D. Now, if the Bible is a Catholic book, why does it add doctrines that the Apostle Paul prohibited? And Catholicism teaches things regarding Mary, the mother of Jesus, that is hard for one acquainted with the Bible to imagine. They worship her on an equality with God in Christ. She is the mother of God. She can even mediate for our salvation, they say, in spite of Paul's teaching that there is one mediator, and that is Christ, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. They say that the Bible says there's only one mediator, but that does not mean there cannot be another. Well, now, Jeff, how do you reason with people who talk with such double talk? Not only do they pray to Mary, saying that she will make God do things that the Son could never get done, but they pray through their saints and through those they designate as their angels. The same book that says there is one God says there is one mediator. Now, while we may pray on behalf of one another, there is only one approach to the Father, and that's Jesus Christ, John 14 and verse 6. Catholics have written, "We shall sometimes be sooner heard and saved by invoking the holy name than that of Jesus Christ." Now, the holy name to which they referred to was Mary. In The Glories of Mary, page 149, we read, "We sooner find salvation recurring to the mother than the son." Friend, I suggest this is blasphemy. They not only deny the biblical teaching, they deny the Christ, his mission, and claim that we can even be saved through others. Are not these points sufficient to prove to any honest mind that the Bible is not a Catholic book? We're going to have another lesson on the theme, Is the Bible from Heaven or from Rome? And I hope that you will be able to hear it. Until next time, this has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd.